If you're not in the Lashon Esrei, please find a seat. Boker Tov Lekulam. It's a very, very sad day for the Jewish people. This morning was the Levaya of Harav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion in Alon Shvut, Rosh Kollel at the Griff Institute, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University of Reitz. My Rebbe, Rav Aaron, passed yesterday. What can be described as a Misas Nashika, passed away in his sleep, at the age of 81. And far be it from me to be Masvid Rav Aaron, not qualified in any way, shape, or form. I've been struggling for more than 24 hours with what I wanted to say to you. I knew I wanted to say something. I knew I wanted to speak to the yeshiva about Rav Aaron, because it's very, very important that we know who he was and what he stood for, what he taught, and the impact that you don't even realize he's had on this very yeshiva. I just want to spend a few minutes today. I don't want to overdo it. There's way too much to talk about. But I want to share a few thoughts with you, which I think will in some way describe the influence that Rav Aaron has had on me personally, on my life, and my family. And through me, I suppose, on all my Talmidim over the years. It's an unbelievable, powerful figure. To begin with, I want to say to you that when you hear that a Gadol B'Yisrael passes, so when you're 17, 18, 16 years old, student in high school, you don't always, if you didn't know that rabbi, if you weren't directly connected, if your father or your shul rav wasn't your personal, you know, your rebbe in yeshiva didn't say, that was my rebbe, so you don't feel connected. Okay, so it's a shame. We all feel sad that someone named rabbi passed away. We don't always appreciate and value the loss, because why should we? We're 16, 17 years old, and we don't know who the person really was, so you can't be blamed. So the first lesson is that we have to talk about it. We have to learn. When you hear about a Gadol B'Yisrael, when someone says a Gadol passed away, you have to look into it. You have to know who that Gadol was and why people call them a Gadol, and see if there isn't a lesson or two or three or 33 or 133 that you can learn, that you can internalize. What made that person a Gadol? So whether it's Rav Aaron or any other Gadol, if you ever hear of someone referred to as a Gadol who's been lost to Klal Yisrael, an inquiring mind, we should all have inquiring minds, needs to investigate and find out. Vayaram ki gava Aaron. Pasuk tells us, Sefer Bamidbar, that when the Jewish people saw that Aaron had passed, Vayivku oto kol beit Yisrael shloshim yom. So all of the Jewish people mourned for Aaron for 30 days. We have to mourn for Rav Aaron as well. And the way we can do that, honestly, is to study who he was, read something that he wrote, learn some Torah that he taught, and internalize and make that Torah part of our personalities, part of our belief system, part of our practice, our behavior. And that's our responsibility. So that's the first message this morning. When you did your Berzon, well-known Rav in Eretz Yisrael, my Maaseret institutions, anybody here who's going to Mevaseret next year, so the name Rabbi Berzon should ring a bell, the Talmud of Rav Lichtenstein, told the following story. When he was a young man, he said he was 15, 16, 17 years old, he's getting ready before he went to the yeshiva, before he arrived in Gush. He had a certain view of the world, that there were two kinds of great rabbis. Two kinds of great rabbis. The first great rabbi is the one he refers to, a great chacham, a great Torah scholar, knowledgeable in Gemara and Shas and Poskim, could paskin shilas for you, that huge Talmud Chacham. That was one type of rabbi that we learn about, we hear about. And the other type of rabbi is the tzaddik, the Baal Midos, the Baal Chesed, who does Bikur Cholim, who does unbelievable acts of kindness for widows and orphans. And he always thought, he said, growing up, there were two kinds of great rabbis. The great learned rabbis, and the rabbis of the great acts of chesed and kindness and tzidkus. When he arrived in yeshiva, it's Elul's man, yeshiva always starts in Elul. So he tells a story that the very first shir klali, for those who don't realize, shir klali is, you go to your Rebbe shir, and in the world of yeshiva, it's sometimes once a week, the whole yeshiva comes to the Rosh Yeshiva, gives a shir. So in Gush, we used to have it on Wednesdays when I was there. Shir Kali was on Wednesday. And everybody would hear the shir from the Rosh Yeshiva. The whole yeshiva would listen. So shir started at 11:30. Lunch was at 1 o'clock. So he's telling the story. This is his first week in the yeshiva, his first shir Kali in yeshiva. And Ravan got up to give the shir. He started at 11:30, and it's 1 o'clock, and it's 1:05, and it's 1:10, the boys' stomachs are grumbling, and it's, they want to eat lunch. And Ravari keeps going. Finally, about 1:15, he says, I see I'm not going to be able to finish, so let me just summarize what I said until now. It takes another 15, 20 minutes to summarize what he said to that point, and we'll continue at 3 o'clock after Mincha. And so they go, they eat lunch, they come back, daven Mincha. 3:15, Rav Aaron gets up to continue the shir. 2.5 hours later, 3 hours later, he finally comes to the end of the shir. What Torah, what lamdus, what a chacham. Unbelievable. He says, this fits in my worldview, says Rav Berzon. This is, that great chacham. Unbelievable, going on and on with one chiddush after another. Incredible. And it fits very well, because Rav Aaron is going to be that unbelievable chacham. We know when shir is going to start, we never know when shir is going to end. It just keeps going. And the Torah is just flowing. It says, but then came the end of El, we come to Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Aaron is the Makri. The Makri is the person who calls out Kiyo, Shvarim, and so forth when the Baal Tokeh is going to blow the shofar. And Rav Bik, Rav Ezra Bik, who was the Baal Tokeh Yeshiva, a tremendous Talmud Chacham in his own right, and Rav Bik is a slender guy, has a soft voice, and he's singing the brachos, the Shema Kol Shofar. You can imagine, there's hundreds of guys in the room, yeshiva students, balabatim, places packed, and you can hear a pin drop. And Rav Bik chants the blessing, chants the brachos that we're going to say, the Shema Kol Shofar. And all of a sudden, you hear a roar. Tekiya! The energy, the emotion that Rav Aaron called out. The sounds of the shofar, what we're going to call. It's not just another chakira. It's not just another distinction in halacha. It's a mitzvah. What's the makor for why you're supposed to have so much emotion when you call out the sound of the shofar? The emotion, the commitment, the consummate Eved Hashem. Everything is about serving God. My son Dovi, who learned in the yeshiva as well, told me, he said, when you met with Rav Amital, when you're in yeshiva, and a lot of guys feel this way, you met with Rav Amital, who founded the yeshiva, and invited Rav Aaron to be his partner, to be a co-rush yeshiva with him. Yeshiva started, was, I think, the second yeshiva that's there ever founded, 1968. And in 1971, Rav Aaron came to join the yeshiva. When you met with Rav Amital, you had a sense that Hashem is Avinu. There was that father figure, that Rosh Yeshiva, that father, that sense of God is our father, looking down from heaven and taking care of us. When you spoke to Rav Lichtenstein, when you spoke to Rav Aaron, it was Avinu Malkeinu. You sensed the awe, the kingdom, the Malchus Shamayim. He was the consummate Eved Hashem, screaming with emotion, completely involved, Tekiyah. And Rav Berzon said, he says, it was a problem for me. Because there's the rabbi who's the great chacham, and then there's the rabbi who's the great tzaddik, but look at this man. Rav Aaron was both. He was an unbelievable Talmud chacham who wrote Svarim and didn't know one part of Gemara. He knew all of Shas. He knew all of Torah. He's most famous perhaps for his Svarim on Kutchim in Taharos, on Mikvos, stuff that nobody learns. And yet, not only is he a giant in Torah and in learning, he's a giant in Midos. You don't find people with the intellect that Rav Aaron had. And people very often, the greater they become, the more they know. So sometimes that impacts on the way they act. If you're on a certain level, see how to conduct yourself. I'm on a certain high level. Rabbi Lerner was involved in an MMY for many, many years, Yeshivat Shalvim for girls, also a Talmud of Lichtenstein, pointed out that there's a Gemara that says that people who are on a very, very high level are zochet to dream about pumpkins. Crazy Gemara. Dream about pumpkins? What's the story with pumpkins? It's a very interesting pshat. Pumpkins grow to be one of the largest vegetables. They can grow very, very, very big. They really can get gigantic. But the thing about pumpkins is that the bigger they grow, the closer they are to the ground. Because of their weight and their size, they tend to sit down closer to the ground. Said Rabbi Lerner, he's confident that Rav Lichtenstein was zocheh to dream about pumpkins. He was so great. He was so enormous. He was so tremendous in his learning, in his midos, in his serving of God. But at the same time, if you went to meet him, if you spoke to him, he had this, I'm a regular person. The greater he became, the more typically he acted. You know, famously, Rav Aaron did not have a beard. And people sometimes looked at it in a critical way. People criticized Rav Aaron, or Rosh Yeshiva doesn't have a beard. They thought it was a sense of maybe his being more secular. Chas v'shalom. Suggested the reason Rav Aaron didn't grow a beard is because Rav Aaron wanted to be seen as a regular Jew. It wasn't his beard that was going to define him. There are lots of stories that they tell. It didn't look like the typical Rosh Yeshiva. I'll just share one quick story with you. Rav Aaron was a colonel in the Israeli army. You know, he ran Yeshivat Hesder. In fact, for those of you who are going next year to learn in Gush, to learn in HaKotel, to learn in Shalvim, to learn in KBY, these are all Yeshivot Hesder. It's not just that you're going there because they have high level of learning programs for American boys who want to learn Torah on a high level in Israel. But you're choosing, or you've chosen, to attend yeshivot, which build on this whole concept of Hesder, of creating the arrangement, of combining Torah and service to the land of Israel. The Hesder means the arrangement. There's a famous, famous article, Zot Torat HaHesder, written by Rav Lichtenstein. I heard Rav Yaakovson, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Shalvim, in a sicha he gave yesterday to the boys there. The entire Yeshivat Shalvim went to Gush today, to the Levaya for Rav Lichtenstein. Because if you're a Hesder student, if you believe in religious Zionism, if you believe in combining Torah study and service to the Medina and integrating that into your life, then you have to read, said Rav Yaakovson, you have to read Zot Torat HaHesder. Because that's the seminal work. So Rav Aaron was driving together with other Rosh Yeshiva to go and see Talmidim who were at the barracks, at the base, wherever they were. Maybe it was particularly a time of a battle, and they went to see Talmidim. And he was driving, and there were other rabbis in the car. And the story goes, I don't know if it's true or not, probably it's true, that when they get to the base, and the guard at the gate said, okay, So why are you here? You know, checking IDs? And he says, okay, so we're here to see where the rabbis from the yeshiva, we're here to see our Talmidim, the soldiers. And they said, okay, so you guys can go in, and your driver, he can park over here and wait for you. Because of Lichtenstein's ofi, the way he carried himself, the greater he became, the more humble he was. It was a very interesting phenomenon. When you spoke to Rav Lichtenstein, when you went to the room with him, you were awestruck. It's like a malach. You're in the presence of greatness. Rabbi Rhein, also a Talmud, so Rebbe of mine, told a story yesterday to the boys in yeshiva that people he would see outside Rav Aaron's office, people who had reason to go in, and they'd be pacing back and forth. They were breathless. They were afraid to open the door. They were afraid to go and meet because it was such an awesome experience to be speaking to him. And they had to gather themselves and pull themselves together. Wow, I'm going to be in the presence of such a man, of such a person. It's unbelievable. But then when you actually spoke to him, he gave you the feeling that he had all the time in the world for you. That your question, that your conversation was all he needed to deal with right now. He had reason to speak to him. He had a question. He made himself available. It was an unbelievable contradiction almost. But you had an opportunity. You had an opportunity to be in the presence of greatness and to be impacted by it. There are a lot of people in JC who've been through the yeshiva through Gush, been Talmidim over the years. And one of the things that I think Rav Aaron will be most remembered for is his Talmidim. Rav Aaron is famous for having influenced literally hundreds and thousands of people. And one of the most fundamental messages he's given is the obligation that we have to serve the Jewish community. You can't just sit and learn for yourself. You can't just take care of your own Dalai Lama. You need to be there for other people as well. A lot of you are familiar with Rav Moshe Tarrigan. He's been to school a number of times here to meet with boys. He's given shiur here. Rav Tarrigan will tell you that the reason he is a rabbi, the reason he is in Chinuch today, is because of Rav Lichtenstein. I will tell you that the reason I am a rabbi, the reason I am in Chinuch, is because of Rav Lichtenstein. Standing up and telling us, what are you doing for others? What are you doing for the community? If you have the ability, the capacity to serve, you have to serve. But it's not just, not everyone could be a rav. Not everyone in this room thinks, I want to grow up and be a rabbi. But Rav Aaron would tell you that every single one of us has to grow up and serve the community. Ish kefi yichalto. Everyone has the capacity to do beyond himself, to be bigger than his own Dalai Lama. What is your contribution to the community going to be? One will do it as a teacher. One will do it as a board member. One will do it serving as a doctor or a lawyer for the community. Whatever it may be. But having part of your worldview that you need to serve, that you need to commit to making the Jewish community better. I'm going on too long, and it's not the time for a great arichus. It's a lot more that I could say, a lot of stories I could tell you. I'd like to suggest two things, and then I'll close. We'll finish davening. Number one, every single person in this room could benefit from learning more about Rav Lichtenstein, about his teaching, about his Torah. And I would strongly urge everybody to make it their business in the coming days. Go to YU Torah. There's a whole special site now. All kinds of things. Short things, 15-minute clips, 20-minute clips, hour-long clips of people talking about Rav Aaron. go to the virtual Beit Midrash, VBM, that Shivat Har Tzion has. Take out a shear. Come to my office. Some of you guys were in my Hashkafa class this year. You know that a lot of what we talked about was the Torah of Rav Lichtenstein. Read an article, listen to a shear, listen to some stories, make it your business. In the next month, make it your business to internalize a lesson or two or three from Rav Aaron. It'll make you a better person, it'll make you a happier person, make you a better Jew. And if you do that, then we will be part of a worldwide movement to continue his teaching, to live his legacy, and to make the Jewish community and the world community as a whole a better and more sophisticated place where we can all strive to be true Ovdei Hashem. Yehi Zichro Baruch.